Good morning, everybody. Okay. This is Denise Martin, and I just wanted to welcome you. Holly, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so Holly Girth and I are here, and we are just delighted to be with you today to kick off the Transition Series. And the Transition Series, brought to you by Bridgelight, was really started as a part of a conversation with Holly, because it was kind of a God-sized dream to think about how to help and support people that were dealing with change and going through transition. And a lot of times, you know, we think that the change is the big thing. It's about what is about to happen to us, or what did happen, or what we think we want to happen. And then once we get that, sometimes the transition piece we forget all about, and sometimes it can be the biggest piece of it. And there's three main parts to a transition, which is transitions of the heart, transitions of faith, and transitions of courage. And we're just delighted that Holly could be here to kick us off about transitions of the heart, because who better than, you know, heart to heart, you know, with Holly and Holly Girth. So, Holly, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Denise. I'm excited.
Me too. I think this is going to be great. So I just wanted to welcome everybody. Before we get really into it, we're going to walk through a couple of logistical things, if that's okay with you guys. So first of all, thank you for being patient with us about some of the technical challenges. We're learning a lot as we go. Hopefully everybody is in and finding their way around and navigating okay. On the main page, on the web link, you can see that you have a choice for audio between phone and web. And if you decide that one's not working out for you, you can switch. So feel free to do that. And if you have any issues, you can go onto that web link and send us a message. We are monitoring that text box to be able to take questions. And also, if you want to just send us a message, we can pick that up. So we are looking at that. The other thing is, if you are on the telephone today, later we're going to have questions and answers, so you will be able to press star 2 to ask a question, or you can certainly type it in on that web page. So remember, there's about 300 of us on the call today, and you know how that goes. When you get a lot of people, especially with all due respect, a lot of us women, we have a tendency to talk fast and to talk a lot. So when we get into the question and answer section, try to be as brief as possible so we can get to as many questions as we can. The questions will be queued up in the order that they come in. So first one to you know, hit that star 2 button on your phone, or to get that question in, you'll go in at the top of the queue, so Holly will be able to answer those questions. And if you have any questions, type them in, because we have you all on mute, because it's the easiest way to handle that this morning. So, again, welcome, and we're going to kind of get into this right now. There are going to be some slides. Let me just get those for you. So hopefully you guys can see a slide. Holly, can you see that?
I can't see any slides yet.
Well, we could sing for a minute. Here we go. Well, I see it, but that doesn't help anything, does it? Nope. Well, I'll get to the slides in just a second, and we'll get those so you can see them. Because the slides are mostly so you can see some information about Holly.
All right. Well, we can go ahead and start talking about
the slides. So sorry about that. Didn't mean to have dead air time on you guys, but we're loading them up right now. So we said, you know, it starts with the heart, and who better than Holly to do that for us? Holly, can you tell us a little bit about your book? That kind of started as a God-sized dream, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I have a devotional that's out right now called Rain on Me, and it came out of a personal storm in my life, and I really just was asking God to help me not only survive but thrive in my storm, and it has stories from a lot of other women who have been through storms also, and includes my work as a counselor, and also a lot that I've learned from you, my readers. So that was definitely a big part of a God-sized dream for me.
So that's that's wonderful. And then so we've got that slide up, by the way. Hopefully you can see it now. If you can't, if you click on the middle of the web link where it says slides, you should be able to see the slide now.
Yep, I see the slides.
That's good. Hopefully everybody else can. So that was the thing, too. Holly started co-founding a site I think many of you are familiar with called Encourage, and there's several thousand people now that are subscribers to that, but it's really been an encouragement for many of us. So I invite you guys to go and look at that site, and then also to look at Holly's blog, which the link is posted on the site underneath her main webpage, which has just been really, really a godsend for so many of us. There's 11,000 of us, I think, that subscribe to you pretty much on a daily basis, huh, Holly?
Yeah, about 11,000 subscribers, and then a lot of other people who just stop by the site.
So, I mean, I think it has a huge impact, and it really has been an encouragement. And I have to tell you that initially I thought you just wrote it for me, so I was kind of annoyed that there's 11,000 other people that thought it was for them. So thank you for doing that. Holly, I keep telling you, too, I want a cup like that. Are we going to be able to get a cup like that?
Yes, maybe so. Maybe one day there'll be a Holly Girth mug. But, yeah, I love coffee, so that is one of my favorite mugs.
So, well, it's a great mug. So, so thanks again, and I encourage you guys to go and look some more at Holly's blog, and there's great entries in talking a lot about God-sized dreams, and that's what we're going to get into right now. So, you know, Holly, I pulled up another slide. Did you see that? We've got a picture of Holly and an excerpt from Holly's blog. Holly, can you see that slide?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, Holly, can you tell us a little bit about what you wrote about a God-sized dream? This was from a post on your blog a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I actually was reading a great book by Priscilla Shirer, One in a Million, and it talks about just the journey to the promised land. And I think we've all had those experiences in our lives where God is taking us somewhere new, and we're wondering, where am I going? I'm wandering around in the wilderness, and are we there yet? You know, I think as kids we ask our parents that, and as grown-ups we tend to ask God that, are we there yet? And she talks about how the Israelites get to the edge of the promised land, and God says, go in, take a look, see how amazing this is. And we all know what happens next, that only Joshua and Caleb say, yes, we should go possess this land, and the rest of them say there are giants or obstacles. And she talks about how the one word that stood between them and the promised land was nevertheless. You know, God has been good to us. He's given us this land. Nevertheless, we can't possibly do this. We're not enough. And that just really resonated with my heart, because I've said those things in my mind. And I just sat on my back porch and just kind of looked up at the sky and said, God, what do you want me to say instead? And it was like those two words, even so, just came into my mind, that when we face difficulties, we can say, you know what, I'm not having a bad day and I feel like a mess. Even so, God can use me. Or that obstacle seems bigger than I could ever overcome. Even so, I serve a God who's even bigger. And so it was just really something that I felt like God spoke to my heart, and I changed my perspective. And so I tend to write whatever I'm living at the moment, and so it turned into this post that I got to share with my readers.
That's really good, and it certainly resonated with me. And even today you were talking about wrestling with Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about that's not correctly phrased, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how I said our God-sized dreams turn us into Jacobs. And I imagine most of you know the story of how God came to Jacob in the night in the Old Testament, and they wrestled all night until dawn. And Jacob said to God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And I think our God-sized dreams all come with those moments where we're just hanging on to God with everything we've got and saying, I'm not letting go of this dream. You have called me to it. I'm hanging on to you until you bless me, until you bring this dream to fruition. And I think, you know, that's just a beautiful and mysterious thing about just going hard after God, is those, we have those moments like Jacob where we're just really wrestling with what God has for us.
Now, well, that kind of takes us into the next thought. When, Holly, two questions come to mind, I know, when we talk about God-sized dreams. I mean, what is a God-sized dream, you know, as opposed to my dream? I mean, how would you define a God-sized dream?
I would say that a God-sized dream is that thing in your heart that's bigger than you are. You know, that it's not just about, I remember one time I was sitting with all my nieces and nephews in a car going somewhere, and they were all around 5 to 7, and I asked them, what do you want to do when you grow up? And the answer was unanimous. They all wanted to work at Chuck E. Cheese. And so I reminded them of that last Christmas. They are now all tweens, you know, and they were like, what? No, I would never work at Chuck E. Cheese. That is so uncool. And I just thought, you know, we have those dreams that are just part of exercising our imaginations and really just come from us and who we are. And then God-sized dreams are the ones that seem like someone else planted that in my heart, and I cannot get away from it no matter how hard I try. And if I look back over my life history, I see little bits of it all along the way. And that may take different forms at various times and seasons, but there's just something there that I feel called to in a different way than something that's just an idea or something that I'd like to do. And so for me, those are God-sized dreams because they really start with His heart, and then He places them in ours.
Beautifully stated. But, I mean, Holly, the thing, too, is that we... Sometimes it's like an inkling or a thought. I mean, I think sometimes many of us would think somebody, honestly, like you, would have some big, huge angel revelation, big burning blue pop down. I mean, are you saying that's not happening? It's an inkling? It's a tugging?
Yeah, I think most of the time. I imagine some, you know, of our listeners out there today may have had kind of a Paul on the road to Damascus moment where God was very clear, like, this is your dream, go do it. But I think for most of us that it comes a little bit at a time. And I love thinking about how when God spoke to Moses, it was in that still, small voice, almost like a whisper. And I think that, you know, listening and finding that is part of discovering our God-sized dream. And I think for most of us, it's a process. You know, I know personally I would like to have God send me an email and be like, here's your 10 bullet points. This is your strategic God-sized dream plan. You know, go forth. But I found, you know, often it doesn't happen that way, and there are a lot of detours, and it's just more a process of discovery. And I think that's because what God wants most in our God-sized dream is us. He wants that relationship. And so He's wooing us all along the way as we uncover His dream for our lives.
I think that's definitely true. I think, it, you know, I think you even said it today, it's such a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I know that for me personally, my heart doesn't get changed immediately, although I wish it would. And it, sometimes yeah. It is a process. It does take some time.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you found that's helped you on your God-sized dream and on this journey? What do you think has helped you the most?
I think just not quitting. And, you know, I think just being committed to putting one foot in front of the other. And, of course, you know, my God-sized dreams are writing and doing books and being a counselor. And, you know, all of those came with years of grad school and going to school, you know, late at night and submitting proposals that got rejected and trying things that didn't work. And, you know, I think the biggest temptation for us can just be to say, you know what, I must have heard wrong. You know, and there's that fine line. I was just looking at my journal again this morning and reading about how I had reminded myself that the first thing the enemy said in the garden was, did God really say? And I think on your God-sized dream journey, you'll have those moments when the enemy tries to whisper to you, did God really say you could do that? Did God really say you're called to go there? Did God really say you have what it takes? And so if you're listening right now and you're hearing that lie, then girl, I just want you to know that is the enemy. And God, yes, God really said, I have this dream for your life. I will get you there. You have what it takes because you have me. And so I think that the biggest part of a God-sized dream is just pushing through those moments when you think, I can't go another step, and trusting that somehow, some way, God will get you there.
That's very encouraging. I was thinking about when God says, no, I am. You know, not I was or I will be, but I am. And
yeah.
Just right there with you. You're not alone. But it's scary. So how do you
get
connected, in, you know, that to that heart piece? Because that's what I hear you saying, too, is what motivates you to continue to get up and keep moving.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one reason why having people in your life is so important with you on that journey. And Denise, you've been one of those people for me, and I think this transition series will be that for people also, because there are those times when we're like, you know, that man on the mat that his friends lifted him up and cut a hole in the roof and set him down in front of Jesus because he couldn't get there himself. And, you know, God says we don't have to go through life alone. And he doesn't expect you to make it to your God-sized dream by yourself. And I think especially in America, I know we have listeners from all over the world, but our culture tends to be, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We're going to be a pioneer. I'm the Lone Ranger, Desperado, Superwoman. And I know I can struggle with that. So I think just, you know, having those people in place in your life that can speak truth to you when it feels like you just can't remember it yourself is really important.
And I think it is too, and I hope that everybody can find a God-sized dream buddy to be with, to try to, you know, make sure they do stay grounded and not lose hope or lose sight moving forward. Well, you know, and speaking of that, let's look at some verses. So as most people know, and I guess I'm learning more and more, you know, there's a lot of cards that I have in my greeting card collection from Dayspring that are written by you, Holly, which is pretty awesome. So, especially if I send you a competitor card. No, but it's really awesome to see these, and thinking, oh, that's why this resonates, because you just write so beautifully. But here's some verses that you pulled up for us, right, that you thought were pretty appropriate, right?
Yeah.
So, can you talk about what prompted these particular verses?
Well, I imagine I'm the only one, but I tend to forget what's true from time to time. So, and the only thing that feels real to me at the moment is that chocolate ice cream in my freezer. So I like to put things together just to remind me of what I need to know in those hard times. And so I definitely live from my heart. And so I just put together this list of what is God's heart for me? What are the truths that he speaks into my life? And I love this because it's not just head truth, it's really his relationship with us and what he promises us on the road to our God-sized dreams, that we're accepted, we're valuable, that he knows us, that he'll be with us, that we're a delight to him. And so this is just a list I keep around. I've shared it on my blog, and I just pull it out from time to time and read it again. And actually just completed a devotional for Harvest House. That will be out next summer. That's really based around this idea, but it's going to be an entire book about it.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really helpful. And I think these verses are definitely very helpful because, for me at least, you know, you're really touching on these different pieces that you talked about, especially when we get into kind of our own fears about, you know, am I good enough? And the third verse that you reference is Luke 12:7.
Mm-hmm.
And on our list today, and you talk about that, you know, we're very valuable to God. I think sometimes we forget that. Do you think
that? Yeah, definitely. I think so. Or as women, I think we tend to look around and say, she has so much to offer. She's so much more, you know, this than I am. And I know I tend to wrestle with that. Or we just feel odd. You know, like one time I remembered I spent like an entire weekend working on this writing thing, and I thought, most people don't just sit around and write. Most people don't do this. Most people don't do that. And I felt like the Lord just said to my heart, you know, like, most people didn't build an ark. Most people didn't lead the Israelites across the wilderness. You know, most people didn't die on a cross. Most people don't. But aren't we glad that one person did? And so I think that's another thing to remember about your God-sized dream. If you're listening and you're thinking, my God-sized dream feels kind of weird. Like, no one else wants to do this. That's actually a really great sign that that is God's dream for you, because he's called you specifically and given you a passion for something that a lot of other people, you know, don't know how to do or feel called to. And so that was just affirming to me also, you know, and to know that that is one reason why we are valuable, is because each of us has a specific role and purpose to play and a dream to fulfill in God's plan that no one else does.
That's very well said. And I think we forget that, you know, that we're part of a bouquet, and, you know, and that we're a spring mix of flowers sometimes, and we all have different parts to play, then that's what makes it so beautiful. Our friend Lorraine Snelling, she will be on at the end of this series talking about courage, but she has this great analogy I love, and it talks about, she said, God sprinkles ideas out like a salt shaker, and it's just, you know, are you there to scoop them up and get the benefit of them? And she says that that's how you know, too, that God just sprinkles ideas out for us to be able to gather up.
Yeah.
So I think God-sized dreams are there. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, and I think, you know, when he sprinkles them out, there's certain ones that we're drawn to because of who he's created us to be. And I think our God-sized dreams always fit within the strengths that he's given us and the skills, you know. And so I think on the journey to your God-sized dream, it's important just to know, who did God make you? What strengths did he give you? How does he want to use those along the way? Because he said that everything he made is good. And so that means that the way you're created is that way for a purpose, and he wants to use it. And so I think we can all sometimes fight the way that we're made sometimes and want to be like someone else. But really, who he has made you to be is just right for his plan for your life.
Wow. Very powerful. By the way, the questions Casey just shared with me, we have a lot of questions coming in over the web. So she's getting those queued up for us in just a minute. And I just want to remind anybody on the phone, if you want to do that, you're not going to unmute your phone right now if you press star 2. But if you start to think of a question, if you want to get in that queue, press star 2, and then we'll see that you're in the question queue for Holly. So, well, Holly, this is very helpful. I know that helps to go and memorize these verses and to look at them. And it's just really insightful. You know, and I think what you said to me before is what you ask people is, you know, what's your God-sized dream?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about Holly that I've learned is Holly's all about everybody else's dreams, and she helps us go figure out what ours is, and she's about heart. But mostly, too, she wants to know what's in your heart and how she can help you with that. So, you know, Holly, how would it be the best way to make sure that, you know, kind of this last thought around God-sized dream, how do we stay affirmed when we know that it's tugging at us?
Yeah, how we just keep going no matter what? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm still looking for something really practical. I guess, you know, I guess I want my three-step recipe.
There isn't
What's
one.
Step one?
There's not one. Drink coffee, eat chocolate. Right. Those are your three steps. Repeat. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, day to day, like I mentioned before, just keeping at it. And I do believe I have a journal that it doesn't have any lines. Denise actually set me free. She told me to get a journal without lines, and it changed my world. And so I do set aside time to just, you know, kind of journal about where I feel like I'm at in my God-sized dream, where God's calling me to go next, where I've been, you know, what's going well, what isn't going so well. And Denise reminded me of this yesterday, so I was having a little bit of a tough day, but just to give yourself grace. And to know that God-sized dreams are about growth and about a journey more than a destination, and that you'll have tough times that will catch you off guard, and that's okay. And that's when you can share those with the people around you and remember the truth and just keep pressing through. And I wrote about this recently on my blog, but I did my first triathlon relay, and I'm not Miss Athletic at all, but I used to be a swimmer, so I agreed to do it. And we got there at 4 a.m. I'm not a morning person. And we were swimming in the lake. So I thought something was going to eat me. And I was so nervous. I literally thought I was going to throw up or faint or drown or all of the above at once. And I ended up doing fine. Like, I got in the water and I swam, and it was no big deal. And I've been thinking about that again this week because I've felt that way emotionally, you know, and mentally, that just, oh, can I do this? Can I keep going? And Denise reminded me, it's okay to have those moments, and I forget that. So I just wanted to say that to everyone listening to you, it's okay to have those moments where you feel like you're going to pass out or do something ridiculous, and you might, and it will be okay anyway. So I think the biggest thing is just facing that fear head on and knowing that God-sized dreams are about risk and about being outside your comfort zone. And it's okay to even make mistakes along the way, that there's grace enough to cover that too. And what matters most is just, you know, set in your heart. I love, there's a verse that says, blessed are those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. And how God leads them to, you know, places of abundance because of that. So if you're feeling a little weary today, I understand. I actually am too. But just keep at it, girl, and know that you are making a difference more than you know, more than you can see, and that God-sized dream really is going to happen, that he will get you through. And he loves you, and he created you for this, and he is never going to let you go.
Wow, thank you. That was for me, right? No, I keep forgetting we got these people. No. And well, I needed that. Thank you so much. You know, in a minute we're going to open up the questions. We're going to go to questions a little bit earlier than what we had even said we would because we've got plenty queued up, but we still have room to spare. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to put them in the queue. And then as we get into this some more, like what you were saying, Holly, is about sometimes, you know, how do you keep going and the journey. Next week we're going to be with Mary DeMuth, and Mary's going to be talking about faith and transitions of faith and how do you hold on sometimes where you feel tired and, you know, how do you know what you're hearing or what you thought you heard in your heart is still valid if things seem dark around you and you're not quite sure. So Mary's going to be talking about transitions of faith. And then the week after that, Lorraine Snelling will be with us talking about transitions of courage. And Lorraine's written lots of books around the pioneering spirit of the Norwegian clan of folks that in the 1800s. So she's just a delight. So I think you guys will enjoy some time with Lorraine. But anyway, you're right. It's a journey. And it's definitely as we transition, the journey kind of wraps and twists us around in different directions. So thank you so much, Holly, for your encouragement, because it just makes a huge difference. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take us into a question and answer. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to the first question that came in from the web, and then we're going to go back and forth in the order received between the phone and the web. So if you've got your hand up, we're going to unmute you to let you talk and ask Holly the question directly. And on the chat questions, we're going to read them and ask Holly for you to respond. Okay?
Okay.
I just love all this technology. All right. All right. So we've got a question, and it's coming in from Marcia.
Marcia.
Right. Yeah. Marcia. Oh, listen, by the way, you guys, we have 10 countries represented on this call today, which I am just completely overjoyed with. We're worldwide. We've got some people that have stayed up super late, and we've got some people that were up super early, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're just really glad that you were able to join us. And if I mispronounce your name, please forgive me, because I don't know that I can even read. Okie doke. So it's either Marcia or Marcia. So, anyway, it says, Holly, how do you discern whether a dream is God-given or not, and does or should outward success or lack thereof indicate anything about whether God is the source of the dream? If God is or is, yeah, if God is the source.
Yeah, I think that is a fantastic question, and I would say that really finding out is a process. There's a verse that I love in Proverbs that says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so I think we need to start by doing what we all, you know to do, read the Word, connect with wise people, spend time in prayer, think through it practically. You know, God's given us a mind that he wants us to use. And then once you've done those things, I think you take a step and see how it goes. And then take another one. And I love what Paul said about that we're to test and approve what God's will is. And I think sometimes the only way we really know for sure is by taking action. And then you said, you know, is outward success an indicator? I would say not always. It's something to look at just as a part of stewardship, make adjustments, especially if your God-sized dreams is business-related or something in that kind of way. But I think sometimes, you know, opposition can also be confirmation that you're going in the right direction. And so I think, you know, continuing to get wise input and to look back to the Word and to listen to God's voice. So in some ways, I don't think there's an easy answer. I think it's something that we discover. But like that verse says that, you know, if we're trusting in the Lord and putting his plans, putting our plans in His hands, then He promises He'll redirect us as needed. And I like to say that you can't steer a parked car. So I really, you know, if you have some idea, I would say step out, see what happens, keep moving, and adjust as you need to, and then also just trust that God will redirect you also.
Wow. Hope that answers the question, and if not, feel free to hit the resubmit for some more information if you'd like. And we got a question that came in that was really just about how to get the scriptures, because that, so April, just to let you know, if you want the scriptures, they're in the slide deck, and when we post the recording and we post the slides, you'll be able to see this page that has all the scriptures on it. It will take us a couple of days to get that done, but everybody will have access to these slides and the information. And another question. This is a question from Mary. This is a big question, Mary. Okay, it says, how do you get your family, Holly, to buy into your dream? And how do you make time to pursue them and balance family? And she says she knows it's a big question. She's right.
Yeah, that is a very good question. Yeah.
You're bound to have the answer.
You're not going to tag team with me on this part, Denise? That's an answer.
I'm waiting to see what you're going to say. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I think part of it is sharing, you know, our dreams, of course, and understanding that God-sized dreams always come with fear for everyone involved. It'll come with fear for you, and it'll come with fear for people you love. And so if they respond with fear, defensiveness, just know that that is normal. And I think just try to figure out, put yourself in detective mode and take a step back from that dream, which is so personal to you and you're so passionate about that you want to instantly jump in and convince them, and just take a little step back and be a detective and say, where's that fear coming from? You know, are they afraid that they're going to lose time with you? Is it a financial risk? Are they feeling like they're hearing something different from God? And then just process that together and be sure to say I statements like, I hear what you're saying, and it sounds like you may be feeling this. And they might say, yes, that's it. And if so, you can say, well, let's figure out a strategy for how to address that. Or they might say, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this. And then that gives you more information. And so I do believe that God wants to be us to be in unity as much as possible, especially with those closest to us. There are times when that may not be possible, but I think whenever we can, we just need to make our families part of our God-sized dreams and not take it personally if they don't understand or if it's scary for them, but just know that they are on a journey too, and that they may get stuck at a place on this God-sized dream where they just need us to come alongside them and say, let me help you understand this better. Let me address that fear that you're feeling. And then the question about time, that is a huge challenge. It's still a challenge for me, has been for several years with going to grad school and working and writing books, and I feel like I'm still figuring that out. I think this is where practical tools can be helpful. I have a little iTouch, and I have an application on there called To-Do where I put all my tasks in and I plan out my week and I pray through everything on that list. And that is kind of a new discipline that I just had to put in place. And also just know that a God-sized dream is a really big yes, and that means it's going to come with some no's to some other things. And I think that's where you just talked about counting the cost. So if you're about to undertake something that's a really big God-sized dream, be strategic about saying, what am I going to say no to make room for this without hurting the relationships that I really value? And also just give yourself grace. You know, again, it all comes back to grace. I don't really think there's any such thing as balance. We all just do the best we can, and sometimes you're going to spend too much time on your dream, and you can make it up to your family, and sometimes you're going to neglect the dream and spend more with your family, and it's just going to kind of go back and forth until you figure out a rhythm that really works for you. So, like I said, I think I'm still in process on that one. So it's just a matter, again, of trying things and seeing what works.
Well, Holly, I was with you until you said that really nasty word, discipline. I was okay till then. No.
Yeah.
But I think which you bring up a really good point, too, about kind of getting some clarity, and Mary, you may want to look at this, too, is the clarity around what to say yes to and what to say no to. and what does that mean for your dream? And it's kind of actually almost giving yourself almost two columns. What are you doing? What are you not doing? You know, where are the gaps? And get it on a, it sounds kind of trite, but get it on a piece of paper so you can get it outside of your body and really look at it and get a chance to kind of see how it looks to you where it's not a part of you. And sometimes that helps a lot. The other thing, just to build on, Holly, what you said about getting your family to buy into a dream, the thing, too, is to make it safe for them. And the way you do that is what Holly said about I statements, and then also contrast. Say, you know, I love you. I am here for you. I'm still committed to you. And this is also important. So you link it saying this is important as well as the other thing, and that they know they're not going to get left out in the cold. Because, Holly, I think you're right. It's a lot about fear. And, Mary, that's a really, really big question. And if you want to chat about it later, give us a call. Hope
Denise
that helps a little bit.
Denise actually helped me process that recently. We did that yes and no column thing together, and it's really helpful to have someone else be able to say, hey, now, you know, why is it so hard for you to say no to that, and is that really what God's calling you to, and to ask you those questions. And I like to say it's hard to see the picture from inside the frame, and it is. We all need that objective input, I think, on our journey to the God-sized dreams, because they are so emotional and so personal to us.
So, well, I think we're going to go to the phone, and we're going to take a call from the phone, but this is going to be an interesting technological thing. So here's the only thing I know to do. We can't tell from the phone who's on it, because I believe it's somebody internationally. So what we're going to do is we're going to unmute the phone, and in the count of three, I want everybody's going to say hello, okay? No, it sounds silly, but it's the only way I know how to do this. So whoever's unmuted, we're going to hear, all right? So if somebody's got a better idea, I am really open to it. So, okay, so we're going to count to three, and whoever has their hand up, say hello. One, two, three.
Hello.
There we
hello.
Go.
Hello.
That worked beautifully. Who's on? Who? How
was that me? Was that me that came through?
It is you. Who's on the phone?
This is Grace Bauer from New Zealand.
Grace Bauer.
Hello, Grace.
Oh, that's so funny. Grace. I put a web question and a phone one so that I could get in whichever way. And it's the 1st of September here, and it's now 4:40 in the morning.
Oh, goodness, girl. You got up early. Thank you.
Oh, it's worth it. It's so exciting. Now, I've got two. I've got one on the web, and I've got one that I put down last night, and I'm not sure which one to ask. So on the fact that I'll go with what I put down last night, because somebody else might want to ask what I had on the web. But it was because when Holly finished her counselling classes, it was sort of like, I was really interested in your fear, you know, that you mentioned fear and grace, and it sort of, we often think about fear and love, but it's actually, as I'm getting older, it seems more like fear versus grace. And when, Holly, when you finished your counselling degree and you'd finished all that work, there was that sort of fear about what's next, and how do you know what was next when all of a sudden all that time and energy that had been focused had to refocus?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and that's all about transition. So, that's actually a question I asked Denise. What do I do now? So, how do I process that? And I've also transitioned a little in my work relationship with Dayspring, where I'm able to work at home. And so I'm actually facing that again. And I think just taking a few deep breaths and, again, doing some journaling and praying and talking to people you trust and just kind of taking a few little tentative steps in a direction and finding out, is this the way I'm supposed to go? And I think for those of us who are busy taking time to, which we all are, but taking time to rest is important to you, and that's where I need that grace, because I tend to feel like if I'm not doing 110 things at once, that I'm not being productive, and I must be missing something in God's will for me. So I think also just giving ourselves permission to rest and take a break in between those big kind of transition moments. So, Denise, what do you think about that question?
I think that that I'm glad you're a counselor. Maybe. but I think that's the important things to do. So.
Yeah.
Grace, is that kind of answer it?
Yeah. I think what's just come up for me, is that, you know, my friend used to say, pause for applause. And I think I probably wrote that to Collie at the time. That so often we finish one thing and go rushing into the next thing. And if we don't pause for applause, we lose some of what we've just done before we go on to the next thing.
Yes. That is a good word, Grace. I needed to hear that today.
Yeah.
I was just you know, that because I turn 65 tomorrow, and so it's a new time for me, and I think that journaling and praying and people is a really good triangle that you've just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah, well,
congratulations.
Thank you. It's really, you know, funny because tomorrow I'm going to be listening in on the Amish Wisdom Party. So I'm going to spend my day on Facebook with in my lunchtime tomorrow doing the September the 1st Facebook for Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher. So it's sort of like this is my last day of 64 on your, you know, today, and tomorrow will be my first day of 65. So it's a really a significant transition too. So thank you. It was just perfectly timed.
Well, thank you for dialing in. We're going to go ahead and keep moving so we can stay on time
right,
a little
thank
bit.
You.
Thank you, Grace.
Thank you.
Okay, Holly, got another question for you. And the question is that I think this is a person that you know from Sugarland, but she retired about 3 years ago, and her husband began to work from home, and now he's retired, and they're together 24/7. It's a little bit of a challenge. Do you have any suggestions?
Let's see. That sounds more like marriage counseling. No.
Well, duct tape, but no, we can't do that.
Yes, nothing illegal.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that's a great point, too, because it just shows, you know, I imagine retirement and working at home are both God-sized dreams, and now they're a reality, and I'm sure there are parts that are, hey, this is great, but there are other parts that are like, oh, we didn't anticipate this, and this isn't quite working out the way we thought it would. And so I think we all face those moments on our God-sized dreams where we have to just take a step back and say, okay, I had some expectations about what this would be like, and what is actually the reality, and take a good hard look at that, and then kind of create, you know, even like, you know, Denise says, do columns, do what were my expectations, what did I want this season of our lives to be, then what's the reality of what's actually going on, and then a middle column of what, you know, where do you meet between those two, kind of the middle ground between the ideal and the real, and what's actually going to work and allow us to make the most of this season in our lives. And also realize that it's not going to be perfect or everything that we imagined. And that's an exercise I have to do with myself often because I am, you know, a dreamer. And I think this is how it's going to be. It's going to be like, you know, the rest of my life will be like the perfect vacation. And we all, you know, all know it doesn't always turn out that way or never really turns out that way. So I think just taking a moment to say, okay, I'm having some emotion about this, even some disappointment or frustration. And it's right in the middle of this thing that I thought was going to be really great. So what do I do with that? How do I process those emotions? And then how do I also just make some practical changes that could help me thrive a little bit more in the circumstances where I'm finding myself right now?
Yeah. Well, I think, too, that's what we talked about earlier, is that we didn't anticipate a change, and it's that there's so much expectation around a change. And then go, well, this is hard, you know. And I think this is also the same kind of a thing. But we're gonna keep moving. We've got another question. This is from Miss Jo. It says, how do people find an encourager to share their dream journey with, which is so critical? It says, my husband is my encourager, and there are also friends who hold my hand through various processes, but what about those who have no one?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, too, and I think a really common one. I remember I read a USA Today study that said that half of Americans have two or fewer people to confide in, and that's including spouses and family. And with people who are, you know, actually our friends or partners on our journey, the numbers are even lower. So if you're feeling that way, just know, like, that is more common than not. And it may just take some intentional choices, you know, for the woman asking the question, if you have those friends in your life, you may just say, hey, do you want to be God-sized dream buddies? And what would that be like if we met weekly or monthly just to talk about our dreams? If you're looking for someone, I would say Denise's transition series would be awesome. Or also just reaching out to women in your church and just knowing that it takes time to develop those relationships. Or blogs. I love the online world because it kind of gets us out of our day-to-day circles and lets us find some other people who think in similar ways. And just praying. I remember I went through a season where I didn't have really close girlfriends, and I hadn't experienced that before, and it took a couple years of just really praying and asking God to send those women into my life before they finally showed up. And it also kind of took me going out and taking steps and making connections when I often didn't feel like it. And so if you're in that place, just know that's really common. And also just be intentional about saying, this is something I want in my life, and I'm just going to make a little strategy and move forward in it and pray over it until that person is in my life that I can share mm-hmm. this journey with.
That's true. It's almost like having a pen pal, and that we're such a global community. Even today is such an example of that, that, you know, we don't even have to be in the same area to connect with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So Holly, here's another question, and this is coming from Kathy. What do you do in the season when God appears silent?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kathy, and I've definitely been there. A lot of my writing has been about the journey of infertility that my husband and I have been on, and that's been about 6 years now, and our circumstances haven't changed. Our hearts have along the way, but I remember especially there are a couple of years where it just felt like, where are you, God? You know, what is going on? And I like to say now that silence isn't a sound of God not hearing, it's the sound of him listening. And so if you can just think of, in that silence, God is still hearing you, and he's working on your behalf, even when you can't see it. And that is a hard thing to hear, and, you know, it may make you want to thump me on the head. There were moments when people would say stuff like that to me in the middle of my journey, and I thought, you know, I'm going to thump you on the head if you say that to me again. But looking back in my life, I can really see how he was preparing opportunities and opening doors and preparing me in the middle of that. And I think, too, just give yourself grace. Know that, Kathy, there's nothing wrong with you. God is not disappointed with you. His silence isn't disapproval. I think a lot of times we hear people say, well, I hear from God all the time. And we think, well, if he's not talking to me, he's giving me the silent treatment, I must be in trouble. And that's not the case. And so I'd say just continue to support out your heart to him. Let him wrap his arms around you and hold you close to his heart. And the only sound you may hear for a while is just his heartbeat. And that can come through, you know, reading truth, spending time with people who remind you that you're loved, and just continuing on that journey until he does speak clearly. So just know that you are loved, that he's with you, he accepts you, he's going to take care of you. And he is going to speak eventually. But I know that's a really hard place to be in. So I've been there before.
It is hard. And I think next week when Mary DeMuth is with us, we're going to be talking about some of those silences and when it's quiet and what do you do and how do you maintain faith and how do you move forward when it seems dark or you know, just quiet and silent. So, Kathy, hopefully you can join us for that and talk to Mary. I'm moving fast because I'm watching the clock for everyone, and I want to make sure we get to a couple more people. Pauline has a question, Holly, and it says, what are your thoughts on God using long-term illnesses to refocus our lives to his God-sized dream for us?
Wow, you know, that's,
that's, we're not getting easy ones, huh? There's no easy
questions. Yeah, I know my grandma had polio when she was 29. She had two little girls, and she didn't ever walk again and continued to have health challenges because of that throughout her life. And she always told me the story of how a pastor came to visit her in the hospital and said, Frances, this can make you bitter or better. And she would always say with this little twinkle in her eyes, I chose better. And, you know, I don't know if the theological debate about, you know, where does illness come from and all of that is really all that helpful when we're in the middle of it. I do just believe that God can use any circumstance in our lives when we give it over to him, that he's a redeemer, that he can turn ashes into beauty, that he can take what looks like weakness and turn it into strength for us. And in some ways, infertility is a long-term illness, and it's not something I would have chosen. It's not something that I like. But I do know that it's become a door for God's blessings in my life in a way that I never would have expected. And so I think that it's really just reassuring to know that He is a Redeemer and that He can use anything in our lives for His purposes, and even to become a door to our God-sized dreams that we never would have expected or would have not been in front of us otherwise.
So beautifully stated. You know what, we have several more questions, and we're not going to be able to get to them today on this particular call, but Holly and I talked about this, and she and I are going to get together and make sure that you get an answer from her. Even it'll be personal as opposed to in a public forum, but everybody that submitted a question today will get a response from Holly. All right, so just want to assure you of that, even if we run out of time. I'll tell you the one last question that I think we have time to take. We got a question from Tammy, and she said she's had a chance to work with you, but she wants to know, how can we pray for you, Holly?
Aw, that's such a sweet question.
That's an encouraging thing, and remember, we'll get back to all these questions, and we'll give you a response. But
yeah.
So how can we pray for you, Holly?
I think just for rest in my life and peace. I have been through a lot of transition in the last few months, as Denise knows, and has helped me a lot with, and I'm just kind of tired, and I'm fighting that because that's not how I usually am, but I really just need the Lord to just kind of renew and restore me and kind of prepare me for what's next on this journey of God-sized dreams. So it's a really good place to be, but I'm also just kind of tired, so I would just love your prayers for that. So, and thank you so much for all of you sending questions and called. I think the hardest part about being a writer, I like to say, is not being able to have coffee with all of my readers every single week, because I would. I would drink gallons and gallons of coffee with all of you, but I feel like you're with me, and I do think of you and pray for you and just really feel attached to all of you, even those of us who haven't ever met face-to-face. So thank you for being a part of this today.
And Holly, thank you so much. And we appreciate the opportunity to all been together and just really enjoyed it and to just have this opportunity to connect. So in wrapping up, if you have any questions, if you need anything from us, if you're not getting what you need in terms of follow-up, feel free to shoot an email to us at info@bridgelight.com. And we'll get answers back to you. We will get answers for questions. And I really do hope that you can join us for the rest of the series with Mary and Lorraine as we continue the journey of transition over the next couple of weeks. Holly, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, today for participating. And thank you across our world to all the countries that dialed in, too.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Denise said I'm going to be sure to answer all the questions, and what I'd like to do with some of them is actually answer them as posts on my blog, so you can be looking for that too in the next few weeks. I'd really like to continue talking about God-sized dreams on my blog too.
That would be great. So I will look for that, and thank you so much, and thanks everybody. You have a fantastic day and evening and morning wherever you may be. God bless.
Yes. Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.